politics. In this week's headlines, games kill. South Korean man dies after 50 hours playing games.
In our second headline, a potential conflict in the United States legislature between conservative Christians and neoliberals over the contentious issue of stem cells.
The birth of Snoopy, the cloned dog. South Korean people do it again. Dolly's got a friend.
iPodSubwayMaps.com, new site allowing you to submit your maps of the subway and other areas of the city for your iPod. And issues stemming from that.
Google manages to implement natural language questions.
And mobile phones in the UK to spy on their users.
Your number plates are not safe if you live in the UK. Well, I hope you enjoyed that lovely piece of techno music by Headless Loon. More of it can be heard from headlessloon.com. I'm Francis McGillicuddy, and I'm here with Gareth Stack, and you're listening to Technolytics. Okay, well, we'll get on to the headlines, first of all, and we'll start off with the unfortunate death of a man in South Korea who just basically went game over.
He couldn't hack it, as you said yourself.
He couldn't hack it. I mean, basically, well, I mean, the guy was obviously addicted. I mean, 50 hours of the game. We've all played games for
50 hours.
Like, I know I've dedicated days to games, but possibly whole days, maybe evenings, but 50 hours.
It is very extreme. It
is very extreme. And the most shocking thing is, this is not the first guy to die in these circumstances.
It's like a plague, an epidemic, if you will.
Well, yes.
Of three or four guys.
But the phenomenon is more common than most people believe. I mean, people are radically addicted to massively multiplayer online games.
Mm.
And it's actually quite common within groups who play the games that they're basically their reality work, their lives out in the real world just fade into the background to this life and this virtual world. And it becomes their whole life and everything else disappears, friends, family. And like,
it's a pretty weird phenomenon because these games, when you actually play them, I mean, they're hacking. They're doing the same thing again and again in a really kind of dull. They don't seem tremendously interesting. You know, games like Star Wars Galaxies and stuff. You're wandering around a huge expanse, occasionally talking to someone, killing a what do they call them? MOBs, is it?
Yeah.
Like a random monster that's generated by the game.
Basically, there's always some quest, and you must get some sword or something, and then there's another quest.
They're very repetitive. And what do you think is the major addictive quality of these games?
Well, I think the question is like, well, I think they're always just a little step of like, you've just one more step, you get a little bit higher, and it's just about within your reach.
Of course, so you can achieve those rewards.
And it is the thing about games that you are suddenly, when you play a game, you are the center of that game world. So suddenly you might be nobody in the real world, but in the game, you're like
a Jedi,
max power,
or whatever.
The hero.
Max
know?
Power.
Well, you are. You're generally, and as games become more cinematic, like it becomes closer to the real world. And
it replaces your pathetic real life.
It replaces your pathetic real life. Frankly, the real world is far more interesting, in
of
my
course.
Opinion.
It couldn't help but not be, if only because the games aren't particularly good yet.
Yes.
We can become addicted when they're good enough. I mean, right now it's just sad.
Exactly. We can be plugged into our interfaces.
Of course. But in South Korea, I think I was just reading there in the BBC, I mean, gamers are treated at least at the highest levels. I mean, it's like a sport. They have TV shows concentrating on gaming. It can earn up to like 100,000 a year. I mean, it's an incredible industry over there. And I think they've got one of the highest broadband penetrations. So it's much more socially acceptable to be like this focused game.
Yes, but it also, like, I mean, what do you really learn from games? I mean,
self-indulgence.
Self-indulgence, like, but I mean, what actual skills do you gain from it? Other than like, what they say, the hand-eye coordination. You know, that's trumped out. Like, oh, play games, good hand-eye coordination. Right, how's that going to help me, like, you know, in my day-to-day activities? It's like,
I'd hate to think
throw
Francis.
Rocks better. Ooh, that's useful.
It certainly is. It certainly is.
You know,
not.
Unless I'm a professional rock thrower.
Which you're not.
I'm not. Coincidentally. Not, you know.
And if you were,
maybe I should have played more games.
Maybe you should. Moving on to our second headline. In the United States, Senate Majority Leader, a Republican, has spoken out against President Bush's policy. Now, this is kind of an interesting one. This is on stem cells, policy on stem cells of not funding stem cell research by the federal government and of not allowing research into new stem cell lines that were created now or by private corporations. This is an interesting one because on two levels, it's a conflict between two forms of kind of conservatism in the United States, Christian conservatism and like less religious neoliberal traditional conservatism. And it's also a conflict between those who see a society kind of dominated by technology and economics and those who see a society, you know, dominated by Christian values. Stem cell debate's a complicated one. I'll just rush through a few facts here. I've stolen off Wikipedia. Bush policy has essentially, as I stated, been not to fund research into stem cells at all unless they are stem cells which were created prior to a certain date and a few very, very select group of stem cells. Stem cell research, according to Wikipedia again, could help at least one third of the US population who suffer from illnesses that could potentially be alleviated or ameliorated. These include Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, brain cancers, spinal cord injuries, heart disease, baldness. I think we all have exactly. That to fear.
Baldness, that's the big worry.
That is the big worry. Hopefully a lot of research going on there. And essentially what a stem cell is it's a 5-day-old blastocyst embryo. In other words, it's about 100 cells at the point where they could still fuse with another embryo and separate and become twins.
Yeah, basically, these cells can turn into anything. That's why they want them, because they can turn them into a liver, turn them into a heart, exactly. Turn them into a lung. Why they think they're great.
Which makes it kind of interesting, because they're clearly, if they can become anything, they're not an individual. I mean, they're a potential for an individual in the same way that on a night out in the right mood is a potential for an individual, but, you know,
yeah, exactly.
It ain't necessarily so.
Well, that eventually comes down to the argument of when does life begin?
It does, which is a very fundamental
argument. Bunch of cells, and when does it become a person? And that comes down to possibly your religious views or your moral views. Is it from the moment of conception, or from like 6-8 weeks in until it's identifiable as a human?
But even scientists would have kind of contentious views on this issue. I mean, there's no clear point where you can go, that's a baby right there, you know, until it pops out clearly. But there's few who would argue for, say, abortion at a week before birth or whatever, late-term abortion. So it's a contentious issue, but I mean, it's a very interesting issue because it brings to light this whole divide in the US.
It kind of drops down. It's science versus religion in part.
I don't know. I think it's more complicated. It's extremist religion versus like common sense.
Common sense. I don't know about that. I mean, kind of ripping, just like creating embryos just to like use them. That seems a cheap waste of life.
Well, they're a waste of life. That's an interesting one. I mean, you could call masturbation a cheap waste of life. I mean, in the same terms. But also, even IVF treatment itself creates hundreds and thousands of embryos which are destroyed or put into cold storage. I mean, what are they going to do with all these frozen embryos? You know, put them into women or fake rooms at some point in the future and repopulate the outer space colonies?
Yeah, exactly.
At the moment, we don't have a use for them. And research which could potentially help people surely seems like a particularly good use for them.
I don't think like they've really examined the options of using what's already there. I just read recently, just today, that the University of Pittsburgh have managed to discover cells that are very much like stem cells in placentas.
Mm-hmm.
So these are like placentas which can be extracted after a baby is born. And these cells are very much like stem cells, and they believe they have the potential to be used like them. They're not sure yet. It's still in very early stages, but...
But I get the question is whether those cells can, because I mean, they've tried other forms of research with
adult cells,
and they haven't been able to get them to change into any kind of cell, which is the key property of stem cells. But if those cells obviously had that property, then there would be no need for cells, you know, raw stem cell research. But whether that's the case is obviously, as you said, it's not known yet. And existing lines of stem cells are supposedly contaminated with mouse cell viruses, due to the way that they were cultured originally when the technology was more primitive.
Presumably
they're not particularly terrific for research, and obviously you can do research on them, but anything that you come up with isn't going to be implantable in a human, because you don't want to give them a mouse virus, which might potentially be the next AIDS.
Fantastic.
Anyway, moving on.
You've cured your AIDS, now you have a tail and it's trying to choke you.
Yeah, well, I think I've seen that movie. I can't remember whether it was the erotic version or the 50s B-movie horror version, but...
Okay, let me remind me never to ask to see your video collection.
Moving on to our next headline.
The birth of Snoopy.
Cloning.
Dolly's friend.
Dolly's friend Snoopy. How is Snoopy?
Snoopy's good, actually. Unfortunately, he's the other successful embryo died after a couple of weeks from pneumonia.
Very successfully born and then died.
Successfully born, and they did an actual autopsy afterwards, and it was all the bits were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was normal. It was just life, death. These things happen.
He mustn't have had a soul. That's what it was. He was born without a soul.
Exactly. You know, he was evil. Evil.
It's sort of like Damien, but for dogs.
Snoopy killed him with his evil psychic powers.
Oh, maybe he was the good one, Scanners. And Snoopy was the evil one. That's really bad. Okay, well, there was 1,095 embryos implanted in 123 dogs to achieve this one Snoopy.
Yeah, that's a whole pile of.
That's a whole pile of dog embryos. It certainly is. And it was obviously it's worthwhile research for a lot of reasons, but it seems fairly unethical to let that many animals.
Yeah, they went on about like, yeah, we managed to make a dog. It was a bit hard. You know, kind of after Dolly you kind of see some of these things, you go yawn a bit.
Mm.
Remember the crowd a couple of years ago who said they cloned a human?
Yeah, that's a
they never produced him.
French religious cult.
Yeah. They never pulled
the Raelians, that's it.
Oh, that was it, yeah. They're all gonna get taken off to space or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, their leader was given a religious insight. I think it was
like,
in the 60s
like the movementarians in The Simpsons.
Well, you know.
No. Leader.
If you were a cult, would you reveal your secret messiah who was cloned? I certainly wouldn't.
Ah, but then you could go, ha ha, told you. I suppose it'd be more funny when the apocalypse happens.
Exactly. Like, then you've really told them.
Ha ha.
Comic book guys, apocalypse cometh. Yes. To our third headline, hopefully less ridiculous. iPodsubwaymaps.com has a new site which has started, which allows user upload of pictures of subways and cities in a format suitable for iPods. The iPod photo, obviously, not the regular iPod, because the photo would be just a horrible series of letters. This is interesting, I think, because it shows two sides of open APIs and control by companies over their technology. On the one hand, you have Google Maps, which are enabling these maps of areas to be created, which can then be uploaded to your iPod and saved as a JPEG or whatever, and uploaded. On the other hand, you've got the Apple iPod itself, which really can't do anything other than Apple have allowed it to do, because its API is completely closed. And although there is third-party software, it's all hacked, and it doesn't work very well. Francis, I mean, I saw this as a missed opportunity for Apple, because I just thought immediately, look at the amazing things that you could do if the iPod API was more open. You could have all sorts of interactive services, and here I am, and
yeah,
this is the information about it.
It boggles sometimes just seeing how companies fight so hard to keep the APIs for their systems, and their systems closed for people who actually, you know, might modify or make changes or improvements.
Yeah, sure.
Or just come up with absolutely some crazy thing that no one's ever thought of before. Certainly not the company, the people just love. And often it's these ideas that actually drive sales of the systems afterwards and may drive the success of a system. It's not maybe what the companies come up with themselves. You know, because, like, I mean, that happened with PCs, didn't it, originally? Because you could develop your own programs for them.
Of course, yeah.
You know, that's why PCs were useful.
Led sales, yeah.
Exactly. It wasn't some big company built the PC, built all the software, no one can do anything on it. It's like, hey, you get this, you can program it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it do what you want. Jump through whatever hoops you want to make it do. And people loved it. They had some control. And like, when you get this lump of plastic, it's like, yeah, you can touch the buttons and only the way we tell you. You know.
Yeah, otherwise. You have a stereo instead of a computer, or you have an application which is just a dead piece of software which is useful for a brief period of time instead of a growing and living thing. But we're in such an IP obsessed culture. I think companies see the value of their software and how exclusive it is, and they have this idea that the more patents and copyrights they have, the more money they have.
Yeah,
the safer they are.
That's why I'm very glad the recent EU changes on patent law weren't passed, because that would have been absolutely disastrous
for open source, especially.
Oh, it would have been terrible. Thankfully, it just, they put in so many feckin' amendments that they decided in the end it was so muddled and so confused that they couldn't vote it through. So it was kind of, not so much we won, they screwed it up themselves.
I think it's something which is inevitably coming, though. I mean, pessimist Jimmy says European software patents are on their way. I mean, it's not something which can be stopped.
But it's terrible the way you can just, like, I mean, if you go out tomorrow and you come up with this great idea and Microsoft has something pretty close, it just goes, hey, you can never use that, and you might never have even seen or heard of their code, you just like came up with this brainwave.
And they mightn't even build it, in fact, because it might compete with something they already have.
But it's just, oh, we got it close, you know, it's close enough to ours, you know.
Bang. Or worse than that, you get all the companies which patent ridiculous things that they didn't even invent. The British Telecom tried to patent the hyperlink a few years ago because it was vaguely similar to some sort of filing system they had back in the 60s or something. And all these bogus patents, patent one-click shopping has been patented by Amazon, stuff like that.
Amazon did that.
Crazy. That was, I mean,
ridiculous.
Perhaps they were the first to do it. Does that mean they should be the only ones to ever be able to do it? It was an obvious idea. Of course not. It's ridiculous.
I don't think they should be able to patent some of those things there. They're too ubiquitous. They're everywhere. Like,
exactly.
I mean, and they should be just used for the general good.
It's just like a license to tax every piece of software that's out there. When you give a patent that's retrospective and going back
years. They're taxing ideas. They're not taxing actual codes. Mm-hmm. I mean, because basically, you're taxing mathematical formulas, because that's what all computer programs come down to eventually. It is just mathematical algorithms running. So, I mean, you're trying to tax sums.
And yet you can't patent a formula in the United States, as far as they know.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, 1 + 1. Hey, I'm patenting that. Accountancy grinds to a halt. Pull the world to ransom. All the accountants like, ha ha.
Until they give you $1 million. But of course they can't count it up because you own the patent. Moving swiftly on. Our next headline, Francis.
Okay, well, Google has managed to implement natural language questions into their search engine.
You weren't particularly impressed by this when we were discussing it earlier?
Not particularly at all, because it's basically, most people who use Google don't even know about the advanced features in it anyway. They don't really know how it works. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're just going to keep just throwing in words and phrases that they know. I mean, I've seen people who were just looking for contact details who put in phone number. And I thought, put in the letters T-E-L and dot, because that's how it appears in the on web pages usually. But obviously it was a basic misunderstanding of how these search engines work. So,
but surely it's a step along the way towards...
It's a step maybe to improving it, but frankly, search engines as they are pretty poor and very... They're using the dull grind of computers to basically choke through big tons of information. And not provide very clever results.
I find Google is getting worse. I don't know if that's been your experience, but I find Google is getting less accurate as time goes by. In small things, the more specific information that you're looking for, it seems to be on the second and third page rather than...
I never liked that. I mean, it was always when you really needed one... If you want general information, fantastic.
Yeah.
But when you want to find out one very specific question, I want the answer to this, you know, who's that guy's phone number? Who works there? It's like... Oh, it's needle in a haystack, basically, again. Because you're trying to just manipulate it to get it to do what you want. And it's like, no, that term doesn't work. That's all rubbish. Right, what can I put in that will make it better?
Would you put that down to the size of the web or to people trying to spam Google or just lack of AI development? Or
the size of the web, the way search engines work, I mean, it's just laughable. I think
you've done some work on that yourself, I believe.
Well, I did a whole year studying basically how search engines worked, and frankly, it's very dumb. I mean, it's just like, wow, here's the same word occurs, like, you know, the page here, and it's not clever. It's dull, grinding computers just chugging through information, taking all the words out of pages, and just going, all right, yeah. It occurs a lot in this page. It's probably relevant.
But PageRank doesn't work like that. Google's PageRank is
more. Yeah, and they're getting manipulated as well.
Well, they do. But I mean, it's a very clever idea.
To do it.
You have to give them that PageRank idea was clever. What page is linked to this page rather than
But that's not really clever, because I mean, you could have a page on like Greenpeace could have some by one or two steps of separation, some big porn site, and it's like they're not exactly related.
No, obviously there's this.
You know,
it's
but
not
there could be some guy who like rates Greenpeace and then porn sites on the same level. It's like, hey, here's Greenpeace, here's some porn. And it's like, wow, two steps away, you've got porn, you've got Greenpeace.
But I mean, from my naive perspective, as far as I know, PageRank works in that like a site which is rated higher. I mean, it's recursive. A site which is rated higher is given a higher ranking, and its links are regarded
as higher.
Yeah,
but that's
higher,
based
so
on basically everyone
stuff.
Linking to your website.
Yeah, but I mean,
which
that's how the web
has been
works.
Manipulated by people in competitions. So, I mean, it still doesn't indicate relevancy.
No, of course. But, I mean,
it doesn't even come close to relevancy.
Nothing other than a comprehensive system that could actually understand the web.
Natural language, yes.
More than natural language, like actual comprehension, like semantic comprehension. Artificial semantic comprehension is the only system that you could possibly have that would be better than that. And that's, like, you know, so far above what we have available at the moment that it's not even worth discussing. Mobile phones in the UK to spy on their users. Mobile phone companies in the United Kingdom, according to Financial Times, can now have the capacity and will and are ready to, and probably presumably have already, activated phones which are Bluetooth enabled remotely to listen to their users without indicating any kind of your phone is turned on and phone to anyone signals it, so that the phone can act as kind of a remote transmitter of whatever the user is saying, should they be a terror or crime suspect. In addition to existing kind of triangulation capabilities, which GPRS and 3G enable, I mean, this seems like a huge invasion of privacy.
You mentioned Bluetooth. It's enabled by Bluetooth, is it?
I believe I read it wasn't on the
because I heard something about hackers doing the same.
Really?
Yeah, hackers came up with it first.
Oh, they always do.
God bless them.
And they take the shill from the MOD and say, we'll do that for
the Ministry
of Defence.
Caught them and said, all right, what have you been up to? I got this cool thing for, like, listening to phones. We'll have that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It would be interesting to know whether this is an exploit that they're actually, you know, they're exploiting the software, whether this is built into the system from the ground up, sort of your phone was designed to do this. Because it's only the UK so far, supposedly.
I doubt it was. I'd say it's more an exploit.
In which case, they're probably violating a patent, ironically enough.
Possibly.
But I mean, from a usability point of view, this is just insane. Like, your conversation's being monitored.
This is Big Brother. This is Big Brother writ large.
It is.
I mean, the question is like, basically it'll come down to what are the controls for them getting the wiretaps? Because it's essentially kind of a wiretap they're doing again. So in some senses, I can see the use. I mean, if you're tapping a criminal, a known criminal who's doing this, but once there are like proper checks and balances as they are with wiretaps at the moment, that I don't know whether they exist in the UK. I don't know about UK law that well. But I mean, if there are checks and balances so that there are only legitimate wiretaps taking place, I don't see a great problem with it. But where it's just where they're given free rein to basically tap whoever they think is dangerous, which is quite possibly more likely now that after the terrorist attacks in London, because you know there's going to be a whole pile of draconian laws drafted in.
Yeah, which we discussed last week. Yeah, it's a,
kick people
it's
out,
a perfect you know. Environment for that sort of...
Oh, yes, exactly. An environment of fear. You can basically draft in anything.
Mm-hmm.
You got the laws in the US.
The laws in the US which allow you to disappear someone in the middle of the night and not tell anyone. And in fact, their lawyers can't... They don't have lawyers. But lawyers can be subpoenaed and prevented from even telling families that their client has been kidnapped.
Yeah, exactly. It is 1984 because, like, you have the area of, you have this atmosphere of fear, and basically people will believe whatever the government tells them if they'll kind of alleviate their fear.
And it's not your television watching you at this point, but it is your phone, which, I mean, your phone carries...
Your phone
with
is with
mobile,
you everywhere.
It's with you everywhere. It's even more intrusive. At least in 1984, at least the protagonist was able to leave his house and avoid the eye of Big Brother, but now there's no way to avoid it. And Big Brother was dependent on a person watching through the TV, so you never knew who you were when you were being watched. But, I mean, the phone, the output can just be fed into some sort of echelon natural language processing system.
Exactly.
And, you know, oh, you say the word bomb or terror. And beep, 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 beep. The rest of your conversation is recorded and analysed for, you know, treacherous statements or whatever. It's terrifying stuff. If you have a Bluetooth phone, make sure it's secured. Patch it with anything you can.
Turn off the Bluetooth.
Turn off
Bluetooth. You shouldn't have it on in the first place.
Hopefully that will... I mean, we really don't know the details of this hack, if it is a hack.
If it is.
If you're in the United Kingdom, I recommend getting the cheapest... pre-Bluetooth, pre-GPRS phone that you can. Just a very, very simple phone, which, or at least pre-3G, which will have too little memory to be used in this way, hopefully. Unless they have the tech at this point to just open up a to and forth with any brand of phone, which I don't believe is possible.
Yeah, I'm going back to the string and two cups. Safety.
Safety first.
Exactly. You'll see him putting on the third cup.
Exactly. I'll be there
Get
with
away.
The third cup.
I've got a scissors.
I have a system. Moving on to our final headline. We have very few this week, but I mean, we're already at 25 minutes. I can't believe it. The show's flown by.
Oh, yeah.
Drink will do that to you. Actually, speaking of drink, do you want another drink? Are you finished your drink there?
Yeah, throw us another
one. I'll throw you another one.
Good. Well, don't actually throw it past it, really.
Is that it's not the last one. It's your last one, and it's my last one.
Oh, fantastic.
There's a saga of the drink, because before the show today, I wandered around the city of Dublin attempting to buy a bottle opener. And it took, how long did it take me, Francis?
Oh, it took you about 20, 25 minutes longer.
25 minutes longer, on top of my buying the beer, which is Corona again this week.
Oh, yes.
Good old. We don't have any lime, though, which really disappointed Francis.
Yeah, I was gutted.
But I had to pay €5 for a bottle opener, which looks like a bottle of Guinness, which is just ridiculous. The rip-off economy has gotten to outrageous heights. I brought home, I was reading Orwell and the Dispossessed there last week, which is about, it's got Down and Out in Paris and London and a few other things by George Orwell. It's about sort of poverty in the 1930s. And I just thought, Dublin, if you have no money at all, which luckily isn't the case for me at the moment, because I'm working, thankfully. What a horrific place.
Oh, it is. And frankly, I feel sorry for anyone who actually is moving here now. People from Eastern Europe are getting a bad time of it.
Absolutely.
I've heard stories of like people who are like, especially with this country, with the experience of people leaving here and going to America and all over the world and working hard and having it hard over there. And then people are coming here now and we're treating them like our people were treated a century ago. It's ridiculous.
And it's actually interesting on that point. It's interesting. I was reading a headline on one of the regional papers today that I think there's been 140,000 immigrants in the last either year or year and a half to Ireland. And they've been worth, rather than the economy going down or wages going down, they've been worth 500 million to the economy so far. And they've had no negative impact on joblessness or wages. So the naysayers who were saying, and Ireland has the highest per head of population amount of European immigrants since the kind of opening up of the new European states of any European country, and our economy is going from strength to strength. So to all of these sort of far right wingers who said, you know, raise the fortress and fuck them out.
Get them out.
They were wrong, as usual. Anyway, our final headline, Francis, do you want to fire into it?
Well, basically the British government is basically putting smart tags into number plates so that basically the cops will be able to figure out who you are pretty easily with this, basically a scanner, much like the speed guns, and it'll basically be able to point at your car 300 meters away and up pops your number plate, so they also know, so if you decide to leg it, they know who you are.
Yeah.
Or if the speed cameras are there, currently speed cameras in the UK I believe take a photograph of the car and they try and determine the number plate from that, but that's only effective in about 90% of cases. This will make it 100% because it'll basically read the number of the number plate, and basically it's like, you're nabbed, you're caught, no way out of it.
But this is RFID, so really, is it 100%, or is it, you know, 100% minus all those people who scan someone else's RFID chip and change their own to read the same?
Well, that's a question of like how secure they make the RFID chip.
And how secure do you think they're going to make it?
Well, considering how secure they're going to make the US passports, I don't think it's very secure at all.
And they've actually already implemented the system in the US. In the US now, if you travel into the US from Canada, for example, or Mexico with a car, your car is chipped with RFID, which is unsecured. It's not encrypted at all. So not only can you be tracked, but you can be tracked by anyone who's got an RFID reader, and you can be spoofed by anyone because it's not encrypted. It's just madness. And it looks like they're going to introduce the same thing in the United Kingdom. Anywhere you drive, you're just a big red dot on somebody's map.
Yeah, exactly. They know where you're passing they won't know exactly where you are down to the millimeter, but they'll know where you're like passing junctions. Mm-hmm. So they can map your journey pretty easily. They know, oh, he passed here at this time. He's driving here, he's driving there. So like you can pretty much be tailed. And like, you know, it won't be just like, oh, we just want his, you know, eventually if they have the technology, they're going to use it to just track suspects.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like, me, track everyone.
And in today's climate, everyone is a suspect. I mean, anyone who has a contentious political opinion is a dissident. And in the United States, left-wing groups, and peaceful left-wing groups like Ecological Campaigners have been infiltrated by FBI agents. Undoubtedly, the same thing is going on in countries like the United Kingdom, maybe not on the same scale, but anyone who disagrees with the government is now seen as a militant, a potential rebel or supporter of terror, whatever that means.
I think it's one of the best things in a healthy society. You should have people who object.
Exactly. I mean, without objection, you have fascism, and simple as
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
If there's no objection to the status quo, there is only the status quo, which is totalitarianism by definition.
Exactly.
But no government likes criticism, and the more we can see this coming years ago. I think anyone who was up to date in technology a few years ago could see that the technology to track people, scan their movements, listen to their voices, we discussed earlier, was being developed, and the huge impact that this was going to have. And it seems to be coming to fruition around about now. It's a scary time to live.
You feel like moving to the old hut in the middle of nowhere, like, wouldn't you?
You do, but then you get a Ruby Ranch or a Waco, you know, where they see your hut and they go, that guy's got a gun. Let's deal with him. He's a problem.
That could happen too. Desert Island. Damn it.
Desert Island. Let's get lost.
Let's get lost. No big monsters in the forest, though.
No, let's ideally an island without that. But speaking of which, we've reached the media pimp point of our show. It's not on my sheet, but it's something we've done the last week. ideally, from now on, I want to bag Lost before you do. I want to pimp Lost as being the best new show on TV and on BitTorrent.
allegedly,
it's I've heard that you can get it from BitTorrent and you don't have to watch any ads or anything, and it's, you know, recorded from HD TV.
Oh wow! Yes, yeah. that would be amazing. If it existed,
or if you were to break the law, I mean, in that way,
exactly,
which we would never recommend. But, you know, if you were to use, say, Torrent Spy or PirateBay.com or any of those other pirate sites, you could potentially
that I've never heard of.
That you've never heard of, and I've certainly never used. So, Francis, have you listened to any music or seen any movies or anything in the media recently that you'd like to pimp?
No, currently mostly Lost was... I am enjoying Lost.
Got a consensus on the Lost.
It's good, yeah. I'm currently addicted to Big Brother, but that's ending this week.
No, dude. How could you possibly say that?
It sucked me in.
Oh, no.
I know. I couldn't believe it. I feel dirty.
You do. You are dirty. If there was an easier way to eliminate all of the undesirables in society, we just kill everyone who watched Big Brother and that'd be it. All gone.
Yeah. So I'm undesirable now. Oh.
You have defined yourself as a mistake, 05821.
I'm not a number. I'm a free man.
My God, though, it's the most manipulative nonsense.
It's a load of trash.
I mean, they've got an actor in it now, I think, in this recent one.
It's pure rubbish, but somehow you end up sucked into the bloody thing.
The weird thing is, although I don't watch it, I know I will admit, though,
it is far better than every other crappy reality TV show you see. Because it is what they're actually doing. I mean, rather, I know they're being manipulated from outside.
But they're not real people. I mean, they're...
Yes, but I mean, you watch any reality TV show, all these dating or whatever crap they're on. It's just like literally the producers going up to them before and like, I'll go pimp my ride. That's like reality TV show. And you know this, like, oh, we're showing you your car. It's been done up. And they do it 10 times. No, you're not looking happy enough. It's like jump around and go spastic, you know, like you've got a red hot poker up your ass. It's fantastic. It burns. Fantastic. Oh, you put a, like, you know, video screen on the roof just so it can be ripped off when I leave.
All I can say is I really, really hope they never pimp your ride. And that was Technolitics. Tune in next week when we will have more sensible headlines. I'm Garrett Stack, and
this was Francis McGillicuddy.
Goodbye. Down.